This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
And welcome to Savor, production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have an episode for you about Tej.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So as always, drink responsibly with these.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever had Tej. It feels like I should have, would have, but I don't think I have.
I am nearly positive that I had it the last time I was in New Orleans and we went to a really great Ethiopian place there. I think that's what I was drinking, but gosh, it was like 2 years ago.
Who knows?
Yeah, so it could have been anything.
It could have.
But I think I had it, and I think it was delightful.
It does sound really lovely, and would certainly like to hear about from listeners about this one. Was there any particular reason it was on your mind?
Nope, not
great.
At all.
All right.
I think I was looking for an alcohol, and I was like, you know, we haven't done anything from Africa in a while, and here we are.
Here we are. And it is a fun one. You can see our mead episode.
For sure, yeah.
Yes, which also has a video component.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it does. Monk's Mead does now have an outpost over by Manuel's Tavern like the North Highlands for anyone who's in Atlantis. So go visit him over there.
Mm-hmm. You can also see our Honey episodes, which were early episodes, but we did do two, part one and two, because Honey
has a lot going on. Large topic. Yep.
It is. Mm-hmm. And then all of our wine episodes, I would say.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Some of our beer episodes, maybe kind of, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I guess this brings us to our question.
I guess it does.
Tej. What is it?
Well, Tej is a type of mead, a wine made from honey. In this case, along with some herbal ingredients. It's a beverage that can really vary from producer to producer, but like high level, what you're looking at is a sparkling wine that's beautiful golden yellow in color and unfiltered, so it's cloudy, like semi-translucent. It can be varyingly sweet, tart, funky, herbal, floral, but it tends to be more on the dry side, like puckery versus sweet, yeah? And so it's like a dry, flavorful mead. It's like if a Hefeweizen tasted like it looked. It's like that honey thick kind of sunlight you get during the golden hours got caught in a jar and has a flavor.
it sounds so lovely.
Yeah. Okay, so one thing, right, that sets Tej apart from other meads is that it's produced with gesho, which is a shrub in the buckthorn family. It's not related to hops, but it's used in the same way that hops are used in beers, both as a bitter flavor to balance the sugar content and also as a microbial control factor. Pieces of gesho branch can provide a lighter color and flavor. If you use the leaves, that's going to provide like a richer color and flavor. Production methods vary, especially from like household or local producers to industrial producers, perhaps obviously. But technically, all you need to make Tej is honeycomb, water, gesho, and a pot. Traditionally, this is an open pot style fermentation process. You're letting wild yeasts from the air work their way into the brew. This also lets other wild microbes, perhaps mostly lactic acid bacteria, get in there and do some work. If you've ever had a beer that was made via open-air fermentation, wild fermentation, you know that you can get some really fun, funky, or tart flavors from this process. You know, yeast and bacteria poop. More modernly, you might add prepared yeast. It's not up to me. You can do what you want. again, traditionally, you might keep the fermentation pot warm with smoldering gesho stems and, like, fragrant olive wood. And I have the idea that this might add a little bit of smoke flavor to the final product, but also might help control the microorganisms that find their way into the brew. Yeah. And there are generally a couple stages in the fermentation process. In phase one, because you are using honeycomb that still has the wax, so you're letting the wax separate out and float to the surface so that you can skim it off. And in stage two, you're probably adding your gesho by removing a bit of the brew, bringing it to a boil with whatever gesho stuff you're using, and then adding it back in. You might add other plant-based flavorings to taste. I've read about ginger and maybe coffee, but like, do not ask. The recipes are guarded secrets.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's one of those things. Okay. And then, yeah, you go on and let it ferment for weeks to months, depending on what you're going for. The longer you let it ferment, the higher the alcohol content will be. Often this will cut the sweetness too. You filter out the flavoring bits, the gesho and whatever, but leave in the yeast, so the final product will be cloudy from the yeast and that bright golden yellow, sparkling with bubbles, with a sweet, tart, bright herbal flavors, and usually pretty dry on the tongue. It can range from smooth to funky, and of course, like honey being a natural product, it can have all sorts of other flavors in there from whatever flowers the bees made their honey from. Tej isn't usually very strong, like 5 to 10% alcohol by volume, but it certainly can range above or below that. It is traditionally served chilled by itself in this type of drinking flask that sort of looks like a beaker, like it's got a relatively thin neck and then a rounded bulb at the bottom, sometimes a flare at the lip. It's called Umbrella. This flask, but yeah, when served with meals, being sweet and tangy can help cut the heat of spicy dishes. But modernly, European style wine glasses might be used for serving, and perhaps more outside of areas where it's traditional. It might be mixed into cocktails, and you know, done with whatever, however you use a booze.
I did see a lot about the serving of it, and people have kind of specific traditions and rituals around that. So that was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Listeners, as always, let us know.
Oh, yeah.
What about the nutrition?
Drink responsibly.
Wee.
Yeah.
Yes. we do have some numbers for you.
A couple.
Yeah, not too many. According to one source I found, Ethiopia is Africa's largest producer of honey.
Yeah, like some 45 to 50,000 tons a year.
And 70% of that honey goes to making Tej. That's, again, I found that one place, so.
That's similar to numbers that I saw in other places as well, so, yeah.
A lot, it seems.
Yep.
Yeah. And we do have a lot-ish of history for you.
We do. And we are going to get into that as soon as we get back from a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So I found this quote we wanted to include at the top. This one is pretty quote heavy, to be honest. But from a 1955 article from the Proceedings of the Nutrition Society, quote, yeah. Fermented honey drinks may have been the earliest alcoholic beverages known to man. Yeah. They are quite old. People in what is now Ethiopia have been drinking tej for as far back as 2,000 to 3,000 years. And tej and honey wines in general are believed to be some of the world's oldest alcohols. The exact details of when the peoples of what is now modern day Ethiopia started fermenting water and honey alongside a local species of buckthorn are tough to pin down. Archaeological evidence from Aksum, one of the first known civilizations of Ethiopia, which rose to prominence in the first century CE and fell in 900 CE, reveals that they were drinking tej at the time and perhaps used it in rituals. One source claimed that something that is probably tej is mentioned in the Bible.
Yeah, it pops up in some tellings of the visit of the Queen of Sheba to King Solomon as one of the gifts that she brought, but not all of them. So there you go.
There you go. Writings from the reigning king during the 4th century CE indicate that honey wines like tej were widespread and loved at the time. They were also served in animal horns that were carved into cups. That's something I saw in a lot of places. A 1962 book written by Dutch scholar A.J. Drews, I hope that's close, suggests that one of the earliest instances of tej cropped up on a stone describing the food supplied by the royal court, including honey wye at Aksum's Peak. So that was probably the thing that people were talking about. But it was on the stone. And some articles I read suggest that servants of rich folks would be forced to try tej to confirm if it wasn't poisoned. And some of the most wealthy in Ethiopia had a specific tej butler in charge of the drink. It was also used medicinally and as an aphrodisiac. Yes. One source from ancient Greece from the 1st century CE-ish indicates that people in Ethiopia were drinking a honey wine at the time. European descriptions of honey wine from Ethiopia and that kind of surrounding area significantly increased during the 1500s with stories of special honey wine consumed by the rich and royalty of Ethiopia.
Yeah, because at some point during the history here, there is a shift from tej being a drink that everybody drank to it being specifically something for, like, royalty. Archaeological research has shown that tej became a really important part of social rank and politics, dating from at least the mid-1200s or so, because within the Ethiopian Empire that took control around that time, emperors had a monopoly on tej production and tej consumption and would, like, collect honey to make it as a tax. And those distinctive drinking bottles, the Brella, seem to have been a way of, like, broadcasting without saying a word that you were important enough to be drinking Tej.
I see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the first accounts of Ethiopia out of Western culture was penned in the 1530s by a Portuguese priest. And it came with this quote, "The wine of honey is much the best of all," and that it, quote, "walked about with great fury, the mistress of the house concealed behind a curtain, taking her own share."
Huh.
A German scholar wrote in the 1600s, "Their drink is somewhat more dainty and is the glory and consummation of their feast, for so far they still retain the custom of many of the ancients that as soon as the table is cleared, they fall to drinking, having always this proverb in their mouths that is useful way to plant first and then to water. They drink themselves up to merry pitch till their tongues run before their wit and never give off till the drink be all out. They make excellent hydromel by reason of their plenty of honey, which inebriates like wine. They call it sed." Tej. They make it smaller for their families, mixing 6 parts of wine with 1 of water.
Yeah. Hydromel being, I think, French term for mead. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did find this account. According to one thing I read, a love of Tej led to the downfall of at least one emperor in the 1800s.
Okay.
And this is when a lot of stories about Tej did start to show up in the written English language, including one from an English fellow who wrote, "This honey wine is the obstacle here to progress of Christianity. Total abstinence on the part of the missionary and people is indispensable."
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In 1898, the English traveler Edward Glycken wrote about Tej and specifically the fact that it was expensive and largely relegated to those who could afford it. He called it decidedly intoxicating. And other works from the time describe it being used diplomatically. But I did run into that a lot, too, of like the I couldn't quite pin down when it became, oh, this is more expensive thing for royalty. But I did find a lot of accounts about it being that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After visiting Ethiopia in 1905, a doctor wrote of treating headaches that were related to Tej and went on to say that women drink Tej on par with men. And that was something he hadn't seen.
Oh, yeah.
An Englishman wrote after visiting Ethiopia in 1906 about Tej, the national drink made of honey, nasty and strong.
Wow. Okay.
I know. I feel like my personal self would be very happy to be called nasty and strong, but I can't project that on this.
Yeah, no, actually, I would be quite pleased if someone chose that turn of phrase for me. I'd be like, thank you. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Like Tej. Mm-hmm. No. During the 20th century, Tej did grow more and more accessible and available, not only in Ethiopia, but around the world.
Yeah, I couldn't track down, again, exactly when this happened, but there was a lot of political upheaval, including the fall of the empire in 1974. But right, at some point, Tej production expanded again to be made not just for nobility and military, but also in many households and by small local producers, especially for special occasions, weddings, holidays, stuff like that. Traditionally, the collection of honey is considered a dude job, and the making of Tej is considered a lady job, as other home brewing is as well. Commercially produced Tej appeared in the 1940s through the 1960s, and Tej houses, or Tej bet, started to crop up. And then there was a little bit of a dark ages for Tej, where as it became cheaper, and certainly was cheaper and stronger than commercial beers, and also much less expensive than the newly fashionable imported spirits, Tej became considered sort of old-fashioned and more associated with lower economic status. And meanwhile, producers started to cut the honey with processed sugar to save money. It was sort of like a downward spiral of all of these factors. But from what I understand, there's been a bit of a renaissance, and commercial producers and fans are really trying to bring it back to its like former glory and celebrity status.
Mm-hmm.
Over in the Americas, expats began producing Tej as early as the 1980s. And yeah, like Dogfish Head made a Tedge in 2009. I don't know. So it's out there. I can't say I've ever looked for it, but I can't say I've ever seen it. So like in a shop, but
right.
I don't know. But now I really want to look for some. I always want to go to Atlanta's fabulous Ethiopian restaurants and see if I can find some.
Yeah, Ethiopian food is like one of my biggest cravings. It's pretty consistent craving.
Yeah. And I feel like it's one of those things where it's so important to be there in person with the sharing and all of the injera and
Oh no. The craving. It's all right.
You will get through it. You will get through it.
Thank you. Well, listeners, as always, if you have any experience, thoughts, where can we get some good Tedge? We would love to hear from you.
Absolutely, as always.
Yes, but in the meantime, we do have some listener mail for you.
And we will get into that as soon as we get back from one more quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this.
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with
listener mail.
Like sunshine in a glass.
Yeah.
Barbie wrote, I just listened to your lettuce episode where you mentioned someone's attempt to connect iceberg lettuce to Father's Day, and I was reminded of one of my favorite stories about my father. He was a man of simple taste in food, and my mother loved to cook using exotic and creative foods. The first year I was away from home on Father's Day, each of them wrote me a letter to tell me how the day had been celebrated. My mother said it was nothing special, and she'd fixed a dumb ordinary meal for my dad. My father wrote that it was a fabulous day where he worked in the yard during the day and then mommy fixed him a great meal of a hamburger patty, canned green beans, and a wedge of iceberg lettuce with mayonnaise, followed by a chocolate chip cookie and coffee for dessert. For me, iceberg lettuce has always made me think of my father. He could have been the face of iceberg lettuce in Father's Day.
Aww. That's so dear.
Well, it is. I feel like this reminds me of my dad too, because like I've said, and there's no shame in like in quote simple
things. Absolutely. But
he always like would go for the, I would just like grits with butter and salt and pepper and like a nice salty ham, and that's his favorite thing. And for me as a kid, I'd be like, we could do so much more.
Yeah.
If that's what you like.
Yeah.
Get it.
Right? And be overjoyed by it. Be overjoyed by your wedge of iceberg with mayo.
Yes. It's your day after
right?
all.
Yeah.
I love it. This reminded me of my dad too, to be honest. Like the canned something. I have a hamburger.
That's it.
And a chocolate chip cookie. Like a very I'm all for it.
All of those things are delicious. I cannot argue with maybe the mayo on the iceberg, but other than literally the thing that you were writing it about.
Everything else, though.
But no, even that, I'm sure it's delicious. I'm sure it's nice and tangy and light and lovely. Huh. Mm-hmm. Like what you like. Get it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Francis wrote, I'm super behind on my podcast listening, but as soon as I saw Mofongo in my feed, I knew I had to listen to the episode immediately. I'm Puerto Rican and grew up on Mofongo. My mom used to make little Mofongo balls as a side dish when I was young. I refuse to make Mofongo at home because it's so much work. Plantains are such a pain to prep and they will stain everything. So Mofongo is one of those foods that I only get at restaurants. I moved back to Puerto Rico in July, so now I can find it. And my favorite variant, trifongo, just about everywhere. I love the stuffed variety for a full meal, and after listening, I have to go out and order some soon. If y'all ever travel again, definitely come to Puerto Rico. We've got so much delicious food, in part because of the convergence of cultures in the Caribbean. Our Christmas pasteles are a fusion of West African, Taino, and Spanish cuisines, and are another delightful use of plantains. Since Hurricane Fiona, we've had a shortage of both local bananas and plantains. They had to import a lot from other places in Latin America. I've been buying frozen tostones and maduros and saw that the company that makes these also sells frozen mofongo. So I guess there's been some advancements in that area since the 80s. I don't have a mofongo recipe to share, but I do want to recommend pastelón, which is layered maduros, seasoned ground beef, and cheese bound together with a beaten egg and baked. Oh my gosh. Okay. The savory meat with the sweet plantains are chef's kiss. I also wanted to add that mofongo is also popular in the Dominican Republic. There's a lot of overlap in our foods, though we frequently have different names for the same thing. Oh my gosh.
That sounds so amazing.
I feel like I might have mentioned it in the mofongo episode, but maduros are like my very favorite thing. Like fried sweet plantains. So, so good. And that sounds amazing.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Like a savory bread pudding based on sweet plantains. Like, okay, all right. I need to.
Yeah.
I have some cooking to do, clearly.
Well, report back about that.
Yeah. I don't think that we mentioned the Dominican Republic in that episode, but because I kind of wanted to, like, I read a lot of very strong opinions about their version being completely separate and you shouldn't even compare them. And how dare you think about the two in the same sentence? And I was like, I'm not going to go there. But those might have been like extra spicy takes. So I don't know. But yes, absolutely. But that's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And hopefully you got some good mofongo after you sent this in.
Yeah.
And yes, if we ever visit Puerto Rico, it's going to be a great time. A great food time.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, thank you to both of those listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.